Welcome to Positive Impact with Andrew Schultz.
Are you struggling with stress and anxiety? Are you numbing out with drugs, alcohol, pornography, food, or Netflix? Are you lacking direction and purpose? Do you feel like you're just surviving and going through the motions? If you answered yes to any of these questions, trust me, I understand. I can relate. I've been there. And we're all meant to thrive, not just survive. My name is Andrew Schultz, and as a transformational life coach, I specialize in behavior change. My life purpose is to be present and connected, to empower, support, serve, and inspire so that others know they're not alone. And I've helped hundreds of clients from all walks of life create maximum success, significance, and fulfillment. If you want to take the first step in your positive impact transformation journey, click on the link in the show notes to schedule a free 30-minute connection call today. Because you're worth it and you deserve it. Hey friends, welcome back to Positive Impact. Today, I have a very special guest, my first guest who hails from Australia. Her name is Eleni Mitis. Eleni, so great to have you.
Thank you for having me, Andrew.
So Eleni is an author, international speaker, founder of HypnoFit, the world's only global hypnotherapy clinic, award-winning hypnotherapist, certified speaking professional, and my favorite, heart leader.
Yay, my favorite too.
So Eleni, my first question, can you share with the audience a transformational experience in your life that shifted your perspective and got you into the work that you're doing today?
Okay, we're starting with the big stuff. I love it. So, through this journey, when we talk about awakening, there's so many different levels of awakening and so many things have happened to bring us to the point that we are. But I would have to say that the number one transformational event that occurred happened July 7th, only a little while ago, 2021, where I had a plant medicine ceremony conducted by a shaman, and everything that I knew to be true was shown not to be true. The way that I saw who I was, my place in the world, and everything around me completely transformed and shook everything. And so that was the most transformational experience that has ever happened to me.
Thank you for sharing. And if you don't mind diving deeper into this topic and the subject for people listening, this has been a topic that's been very front and center on this podcast with the episodes I've done over the last couple months, mostly because of my own plant medicine ceremony and journey on November 22nd, 2021. I also had one of the most transformational experiences of my life, Eleni. And I think, it's not a coincidence that we're having this conversation and you're on my podcast. Kindred spirits, energetic frequency. But can you give more specifics on your journey for people listening? Because I know there's a lot of curiosity out there. There's a lot of amazing research and clinical trials, and there's just a lot of transformation happening because of the plant medicine space. Do you mind sharing more specifics?
Of course. it was so incredible. So the way that it came about was the universe organized it for me. So during what actually happened was that during lockdown, I started to watch because Melbourne, which is where I was living at the time, was the most locked down city in the world. So we were locked down for a very long time. And I was starting to watch a number of ayahuasca documentaries on YouTube. And that was because somebody that I knew had one. And so I was fascinated with it. And I made a decision and I said to my partner, Christian, I said, as soon as lockdown is over, I am flying to Costa Rica and I am doing ayahuasca. That is it. I've decided that I'm having this experience. I knew it was just this calling inside me. I don't know about you, Andrew, but with me, it was like, it wasn't like maybe, it was like, this is it. I have to do this. And what actually happened was at the time, because there were no gyms, and so because we couldn't go to the gym because we were locked down, so I was training in my garage. And just as I was stretching at the end, I got caught. And so I was stuck. And I went and visited, because this work was allowed if it was an emergency, a myotherapist to actually assist me with my pain. This is the first time I met this person. It wasn't my usual therapist that I would go to for body work. And all of a sudden, in our first conversation, as he's working on my body, he starts talking to me about a ceremony that he had. And I was like, you're kidding me. What, where? Here in Melbourne? And he was like, yeah. And so he ended up recommending me to his shaman. And then it all started from there. So that's how quickly the universe works when you're on purpose and when you're on path. It just, I didn't have to wait until lockdown was over. I didn't have to search, Google anything, because you can't Google this stuff, because, I had no idea that this stuff was going on in my country where it is illegal. Interestingly enough, the government has just approved for some clinical work to happen so it is becoming legal under certain settings, but at the time it was completely illegal. And my shaman was, trained by the elders in Peru. And so that's when the journey began. And
would you say that was a spiritual awakening?
The actual ceremony was a complete spiritual awakening. So the way that it happened for me, and I know everybody has something different occurred to them according to where they're at and what their intention is. My intention was I wanted to understand what this unity consciousness that everyone talks about, I wanted to understand it, because I theoretically sort of, I understand we're all one, but how? How are we all one? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really understand what that actually meant. And what happened to me was the day before ceremony, my ego was playing up big time. So where I was in terms of my life at the time was very busy. So even though we were locked down, I had pivoted my business to be online. So I was running retreats, masterclasses, workshops, mentoring, coaching, nonstop online. And so it was very frantic, very busy. I had a big team that supported me. And the day before the ceremony, it was like my ego was like this out of control dictator that was angry at people as to why things weren't getting done, tasks weren't getting done, everything was on my shoulders. And it was this like, why isn't this happening? Why isn't this happening? I didn't know it at the time, but my ego was actually really scared about what was going to go down the next day. Like, my ego is going, I'm really important here. We really need to make sure that we have these things under control and people get their job done. And so even getting to the ceremony, we took an Uber. I'm like, to the very last second, sending out emails. Is this done? Is this done? Is this done? Like, this kind of crazy, frantic, frenetic energy. And when we went through the intentions and we lay down and we closed our eyes and we had the eye mask, the first thing that happened was that ego was showing me that I was a fool for doing this. So, because all I could see was like super highways of crazy colors and sounds and noises to begin with. And I'm like, you're the biggest idiot of all. Like, you have been had. You thought you were going to have some sort of profound spiritual experience today. You're just getting high. Like, and you've paid all this money just to get high. So you are the fool. And these were the thoughts that were coming through my mind. So I started this laughter, this crazy, crazy laughter. Like, I've been had. I'm a nut. There is no such thing as a spiritual experience. And that's what the ego was like. Ha ha ha. It was like this, almost like this, you know, like, you are so funny that you believe this crap kind of thing. And what I did was, there was another part of me that went, just breathe. Just go back to the breath. Trust. Go back to the breath. Go back to the breath. And as I continue just getting back to my breath and ignoring those thoughts, because I did have this big laughing fit to begin with, this superhighway went onto this like huge stage and the curtains opened and it was incredible because I could then see the behind the scenes of my life. And it was like, oh my God, this is just an illusion. Now I understand what that sentence means. I've heard it so many times, but I never understood, what the hell does that mean? That this is just the movie of our life. This is not real. That the ego has been running the show for so long for me. I thought my ego was just me being confident. So I just thought, like, I'm confident, I'm determined, I get stuff done. But really, I was completely, yes, did I operate my business from a heart space? Of course I did, because I left the corporate world that I lived in for 22 years and did really good work with hypnosis and hypnotherapy and still doing good work in that area. And of course I followed my heart to follow that purpose. But in terms of the way that I set goals and ran after goals and didn't allow myself to rest and was a workaholic, that was all run by the ego. Like, you know, next month I need to earn more than I did last month. Next month I need to do this. Next month I've got to achieve this goal. This is what I've got to do. I've got to do. I've got to do. I've got to do. There's a lot of doing, doing, doing. And so I saw it all in terms of how none of that mattered. How none of that mattered. And the only thing that matters is relationships. The only thing that matters is connection. That this whole belief about money and how money works is just a chain around our neck. And I knew from that experience that there were many changes that I was going to do in my life, and it needed a lot of courage to make those changes. But I knew I was going to do it.
I think it takes a lot of courage to do what you did, because you're looking at things that, you know, not necessarily you want to look at, but the medicine shows you what you need to see, not what you want to see. And I think so many people listening, so many people, it's in my perspective, from my lens, Eleni, is people are on the hamster wheel of life, and they're working in their corporate job or whatever job it is, and they're comfortable. They're making enough money. They're supporting their family, but they're miserable. They're working at a job that's sucking their soul, and they don't know that there's other ways. They don't have the courage or somebody to give them permission to step into not a pivot, but a complete letting go of the old mindset, the old perspective behind the curtain. And I think it's really important that we're having this conversation to give people permission of, you know, there is another way. And that other way isn't necessarily, doesn't have to be plant medicine, but plant medicine does help us show what we need to see in order to become whole, in my opinion, and from my perspective. And so I think it's really important that you had a complete letting go of your old life, of your old, the corporate job. And you created, you know, HypnoFit, which is the first global hypnotherapy clinic. And you had this life that you could have stayed in, because from my perspective, I assume it was comfortable, making good money. You could have stayed in that, and you didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And it could even be that you're not even, it may not be that some people are in the corporate job that they don't like. They might be in work that they actually do like. So as an example, I was in corporate for 22 years, but I was in doing hypnotherapy for, 14 years. And I loved my work. I loved it. I loved what I was doing, but it was what was driving me in the end, and it was driving me into the ground. So it's like what we actually think we have to do is all programming, and we've all been programmed. But I just want to reiterate something you said, Andrew, which is important, which is that this is one path, but it's not the only path. There's always many, many, many paths. So if plant medicine doesn't resonate with you, then that's not your gig. It doesn't matter in terms of what the instrument is. It's more about the insights. You know, for me, my instrument was plant medicine, and I believe it was for you too. But for others, it could be, divorce. It could be a disease. It could be a sickness. It could be some sort of other awakening. With a friend of mine that I do a podcast with that we just released yesterday, for her it was losing her son at 23 years of age in a tragic motorbike accident. And so, like, we all have these different catalysts. And so it called to me, and then I felt I had to do it, and I knew that it was my path. But it's not everybody's path, and it doesn't matter what it is that you use. It's all about the insights about what really matters in life, what's really important, and what's driving us. So even if it's work that we really do love, because for me, that work was work that I loved. I really loved doing it, but I didn't allow myself to rest. I thought that I couldn't rest. I thought that I couldn't let up. I thought that I couldn't stop. And, I thought that I had to earn a certain amount of income in order to be happy. All of that is part of the illusion that keeps us chained.
And I think what comes up when I hear you say that, Eleni, is it's coming back to the limiting beliefs that block our natural, our full potential. And for me, the impetus for my plant medicine journey was a limiting belief that I am unlovable and I am incapable of having a loving partnership with a woman with my heart open and walls down. Because I thought I was a victim. I thought there was something wrong with me because of things that happened, trauma that was created a limiting belief around intimacy with women. And so that was the impetus, the inspiration for me to embark on my plant medicine journey, which was transformational, and it changed my whole perspective on, and it shined the light of awareness, Eleni, on what my limiting belief was. And I saw what I needed to see, and then to step into this new possibility, this new identity of what's possible with my intimacy with women. And now I'm in a partnership almost 2 years now with heart open and walls down, with a level of unconditional love and a deep capacity to love and be loved that I've never experienced before.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that. And the thing is, though, that with limiting beliefs, that we all have them. Like, we all have them. And we don't know. It's like, that onion, that whole unpeeling of an onion. We see one, and then that begins to dissolve, and then we see the next one, then we see the next one. So if we think we don't, we do, because we've all been deeply, deeply programmed by society of, what we think we need to do, who we think we should be. And so these limiting beliefs are continually getting unraveled. And even with the one that you mentioned, Andrew, which is the common one, which is, feeling unlovable, that's probably the number one limiting belief that people have. As a therapist, people don't realize that underlying everything, every addiction, every bad habit, every behavior that they wish they never did, is this belief in themselves that they're not good enough. So in your case, you said not good enough to be loved by another woman, that even when you've had your experience with plant medicine, my bet would be that that goes even deeper and it continues to get unraveled. So it's not like you have plant medicine and all of a sudden, okay, now I know I'm lovable, and so now I live this life. It's you continue getting tested. There will be roadblocks. There will be obstructions. And you can default back into the old way very easily and go back into the old way, but you know the truth, and so you come back. So it's this constant journey, right? So it's
100%.
Not just like this one, okay, now I'm lovable.
100%. I'm so glad you mentioned that, Eleni, because it's the integration is the most important part in my perspective of the plant medicine journey. Okay, now we have awareness and accessibility to things that otherwise we didn't have access to. And so it's my actions every day since November 22nd, 2021. It's my actions every day that allow me to step into that new possibility. Instead of hiding behind a text message, I pick up the phone and call. The old way was playing small. Now I want to step into my sacred power and embody my full self-expression. And if I want a new outcome, it's going to require me to take new actions. And so I'm glad for people listening that you mentioned that. So thank you for highlighting that, because it's our actions that create our new possibilities to work through those limiting beliefs. It's our actions every day, over and over, to create new habits that we can, come back to your term, completely let go of those old limiting beliefs.
Yeah, it is our actions. It's all about integrating. Integrating is so important, because it's not about knowing and realizing. It is about, okay, now acting in this new truth, but also observing ourselves in the new truth. Because as an example, let's look at the limiting belief of lack. Now, we all had that. Even when you think you have an abundance mindset, there is a point in time when you have a lack mindset, because then why didn't you tip more? Why didn't you give to every person that you're walking past who's homeless on the road? It shows up everywhere. Yeah. And so by observing ourselves and saying, well, why did I give that homeless person $5? I could have given him $20. It's like this constant asking ourselves the question as to where we sit with our belief systems. And so observing ourselves is really important. So exactly what you said, which is doing, acting. And then when we don't act, okay, just acknowledge ourselves and see ourselves, but don't judge ourselves. So watch our behavior. So I'm always observing my ego now, always. And now when I know ego's talking, I know it's ego talking as opposed to me talking. So I'm very aware of the ego. I'm very aware of the ego's beliefs. And it's a constant 24/7 surveillance job to make sure that the ego doesn't start coming into the power play. That's what my job is. My job is to keep the ego, like, not running the show, but lovingly observing it as opposed to being angry and judgmental towards it. Mm-hmm. And keeping it in its place is really, it's quite fascinating how it will sneak back in so many different disguises to come back in, to be back in charge.
I love it. And I think for people listening, Eleni, what do you recommend for people listening? How do they get started? So like the impact of our limiting beliefs, and a lot of our limiting beliefs, it's been my experiences, are things that we take on as children from mom and dad, perhaps. Maybe we didn't get our needs met. And so we take on beliefs that mom and dad had. So if my dad is a Republican, well, if I'm a Republican too, if I go my whole life without reflecting on, am I a Republican or am I just a Republican because my dad was a Republican? That could be a limiting belief that we go our whole life having these beliefs and life perspectives that if we don't take the time to self-reflect and kind of challenge our beliefs, and are they even ours? But for people listening, how do you recommend they get started on becoming aware of their own limiting beliefs?
I'm going to give everybody a really simple magical trick. Okay. Really, really basic and really, really simple, because I believe that every teaching that's profound is actually very simple, not complicated. And so ask yourself this question, which would lead to your limiting beliefs. This is the question. The question is, what do I want? That's the question number one. What do I want? Write down all the things you want. And now underneath that, write, why can't you have it? They're your limiting beliefs. Why can't you have it? Why can't you have whatever it is that you want? Whatever you write down, and you'll say, but it's true. That's correct. That's what limiting beliefs are. We think they're true. They're not, because that's why they're called beliefs. We think they are true. There was a time in my life when I was younger that I thought only rich people went and traveled to Paris, until then it came to a point where my stepdaughter went to Paris and I knew she wasn't rich. So it was like, what kind of a belief is that I'm holding on to, that only rich people travel to Paris? Like, I've got to be rich to travel there. That's it. And I booked my tickets there and we took the family, because it was like, my stepdaughter went, my friend's gone. Like, where did this belief come from that I have to be super rich to travel to Europe? It's ask yourself, why can't you have it? And then ask yourself, when you look at the reason as to why you've written, as to why you can't have it, is that really true? Is that really true? Because then when you say it out aloud, it almost becomes quite funny. Like, I can't travel to Paris because I need to be rich to go to Paris. Like, really? Is that really true? No, it's not. Then you realize it's not really true. So it's all about asking yourself the question, is this really true? What am I believing? Is this really true that I can't afford it? You hear it all the time. That's the classic one, is the lack mindset one. I can't afford this. Well, is that really true? Or is it the choice that you're making that you prefer to have something else rather than this? In Australia, as an example, I know this blows the minds of Americans, but a packet of cigarettes is $55. $55 to $60. A packet of cigarettes. Guess who is the number one consumer of cigarettes in Australia? What income group do you think, Andrew? Higher, middle, or lower?
Lower.
Absolutely. And the lowest income are the ones that buy the cigarettes and the alcohol, which are exorbitant here in Australia because of the sales tax. So they can afford that. Okay, now that goes to doesn't matter what your income is. You could be a multimillionaire and you still think you don't have enough. And you still think that you need to get from someone else so that you can have more, because there's not enough for all. So it doesn't matter as to what you're actually earning in terms of where your programming comes from. And you're right, it comes primarily from our parents, but it also comes from our schools, our teachers, our friends, society, our governments. It comes from absolutely everywhere. So we need to question ourselves whenever we have a thought in our mind, like, question, is this really true? Is this really true? And who says that it is true that you don't have enough money for this? Who says that it is true that you can't attract the partner that you are worthy of? Who says that it is true that you can't come on this podcast and speak? Who says that it is true? They're all beliefs.
It's beautiful. I love it. And you hit on something, Eleni, is, you know, millionaires who don't feel they have enough money. And so I have coaching clients, and it comes back to the next question I want to ask you, which is our identity. And it's not really who we are. And what's really alive for me right now, Eleni, is, you know, my coaching clients who are multimillionaires and they have this scarce mentality versus an abundance mindset. They need more and more and more. They're not happy. They have everything on the outside that you could want. They have, you know, two homes. They have all the material stuff, but they're miserable because they think they need more, or they're in fear that they're going to lose what they have. And so what's alive for me right now, Eleni, is I just moved from San Diego up to Bend, Oregon, and like a huge risk. Like, I left my community and everything that I was involved in, like, and I wanted to live in a new community. I wanted to experience a different culture, be more in nature, more connected to the land, more quiet, less noise pollution. And so what's most alive, coming back to my point, is like, I used to think I have to live in San Diego. I have to make more money. I have to keep up with the Joneses. And I was in that just go, 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 do, do, do. And I have come up here and I've never had more inner peace over the last 5 months. And part of my daily routine is going on a 1 mile hike in nature and seeing animals and deer and very connected to the land. So it feels like now more than ever, people are miserable. Their scarcity mindset, fear they're going to lose things. And it's just, it's alive because I don't want to live my life in that mindset that I don't have enough. I need more money. And so I'm challenging this idea of what is success.
Oh, completely. I would say that's one of the main things that came out of the ceremony for me. What is success? It's interesting you say what you did, Andrew, because this is what I did. So I used to live in suburban Melbourne, and it was all about, you know, more. I let it all go. I actually gave my money away to my son, to my adult son. Came to Adelaide, and I'm living on the ocean. So like there's no road between us and the ocean. It was always my dream to live by the ocean, but I always had this belief that I had to have made it first in order to live by the ocean. And I also had a belief that you don't, this has been taught to me by my father, you never ever pay somebody else's mortgage. In other words, you never rent. And up to the age of 54, I never rented. And it was like, well, who said I can't rent? Like, I can, it's okay to pay somebody else's mortgage.
It was your dad's voice the whole time.
Yeah, totally. Like, I would never have rented because you're paying someone else's mortgage. You're not paying your mortgage. And so what I did was I actually gave my money away and have come to Adelaide. I am renting because I gave my money away, and I'm living on the ocean. And it's just like it's just incredible. Like, this is the life. I can't believe it. Like, I go out there and I go, what? How can I be living this dream life? And that's because it was just a decision to do that, to let go of that I needed to have this in order to get that. So I call it like living your dream before you make it, not after you make it, before you make it. Make it happen now.
I love that, because the path I was on before I made this move, and, you know, back to the plant medicine ceremony, which really helped shift my perspective and gave me access to things that otherwise I wouldn't have had access to. Saving up in a retirement account for retiring at age 65 and 70 and sacrificing my health and all these years of my living in my prime, the best years of my life, sacrificing that for work to make a bunch of money in my retirement account, retire, and at the sacrifice of my physical health and not having deep, meaningful friendships. That's what I see happening more and more in our society. That's the American dream. Work your ass off, work, save, and then have a few years of not good health where you can't maximize the money that you made and you sacrificed relationships and health to get there.
And the Australian dream too. That's the Australian dream as well, not just the American one. And not only that, Andrew, but we may not even be here.
Yes, thank you. Like, we're gonna have $2 million in a retirement account. Something happens and we're gone. It's like all those years of hard work and sacrificing, and you can't even enjoy it.
But this is the paradox. This is the incredible paradox, that when you let everything, when you let all that go, like when you say, I'm just letting it go because I know that this is not the way the universe works. I'm going to live by the beach. I'm going to pay someone else's mortgage. It's all good. I don't need much to be happy, because that's what I realized. You don't need much to be happy. But what actually happens is that when you follow your joy and you follow the energy of joy, things just work out. Like, the money will end up, because money is there for all of us. It's just that we get in the way. It'll follow us. And we always have exactly what we need. We always have exactly what we need. Maybe not what we want, but we always have exactly what we need for that particular moment in our journey. So I love that you've done that, that you've actually, it is courageous to do it. But then once you've done it, it's like, oh my God, how worth it is it?
Yeah. And it's the first couple of months, Eleni, I was like, oh my God, what'd I do? I made a mistake. I regret it. I'm going to move back. And it was my girlfriend and I, and we're cohabitating for the first time. And there was just this newness of everything, new community, new living, new relationship. And it's just like 5 months later. And it's like, man, I did it. Like, yeah. I can't believe I did it. And like what brings me fulfillment and joy now is going on a hike out in nature, connecting with Mother Earth. And it's just a different mentality that is so much different than living in San Diego and sitting in the freeway in traffic and going to different appointments and clients and classes all over town. It's just a completely different way of being.
Different way of being and a different way of recognizing value. Like before, it used to be almost like a badge that I would wear that I'm so busy. I would love how busy I was and I'm so busy. But it's like now I love the time that I have. Now I love the space in my calendar. I love the fact that I can do what you do, which is connect with nature. Like put my feet in the water every day if I want to, you know. And it's that kind of that's abundance, right?
Absolutely. And I'm really excited. I have a men's retreat this weekend. And part of the reason I moved to Bend is, you know, it's a town of 100,000, Eleni, and there's so much open space and nature and mountains. And my vision is men are lone wolfing it. 15% of men report only having one close friend in their life. Mm-hmm. We're addicted to work, mm-hmm. alcohol, drugs, pornography. We don't know how to ask for help, and we're slowly killing ourselves and hurting all those around us. And so part of my why is to bring men together out of the matrix, off the grid, disconnecting from the phone for 5 days and going out on the land in nature, doing hard things, sitting around the fire, supporting and empowering and like loving on each other and creating deep friendships. That's what I'm really excited about. I think that's what we need now more than ever, especially for men.
Beautiful. I had full on goosebumps when you were speaking, Andrew, because that's when you talked about what you were doing, that's all about feeding the soul. So, you know, we choose whether we feed the ego or we feed the soul. And you're feeding the soul by doing those kind of activities, connecting to nature, what really matters, connections, friendships, long-lasting friendships. You know, these men that you're going to connect with are probably going to be connected with you for the rest of their lives. You know, it's not just something that's superficial. It's real. And that's what helps our soul evolve and grow, and we become bigger, so much bigger because of it, because the ego keeps us small. So when we feed, so who are we feeding, the ego or the soul? And from your what you're doing and this thing that's coming up for you, which sounds incredible, that's all about feeding the soul and helping others feed theirs. So yay, well done, awesome.
So for people listening, we're going to add that to the show notes. Eleni just said, are you feeding the ego or are you feeding the soul? Another great self-reflection question that people can start to ask themselves.
Yeah.
And I think also for the limiting beliefs, what do I want? Why can't I have it? And is it true? I think just for that alone, for people listening, I think it's going to be really transformational and just getting people to start to become aware of where they're at in their life and getting really crystal clear on, okay, here's where I am. And then start to create a compelling vision of the future with heart-led versus ego-led.
Yeah, beautiful. That's what we want. And it's happening. It's happening. It's happening all around us. And that's what people are doing. And people are waking up all over the place and realizing that that's where they're at. It's all about feeding the soul and what does the soul need. And that's what's going to make you happy. Whatever the ego wants, you know, the happiness doesn't last.
So Eleni, for people listening, like where can they find you? Where do you want people to go to like get more of you, like to follow you and like to be in your circle? Where do you want people to go? And do you have any asks of my audience going forward?
Well, my YouTube is Eleni Mitis, E-L-E-N-I Mitis, but I'm very excited because I'm actually launching two podcasts. One I launched yesterday called Soul Sisters Get Real, and it's myself and my soul sister, Karen, who's actually from Wisconsin. And so we're both in our 50s, opposite sides of the world, speaking our truth. We cry, we laugh, we talk about our spiritual growth. And then I'm launching a new podcast in about a month's time called The Shame Game. And that's all about sharing our shame, illuminating it so that it becomes our superpower. So yay. So connect with me on Eleni Mitis YouTube, and love to see you there.
Awesome. I will make sure to include that in the show notes. Eleni, I really loved our conversation. And I think for people listening, shining the light of awareness on, the limiting beliefs that block us from living our maximum success and significance and fulfillment and maximizing our full potential. And I think it's really important that we have these kind of conversations for people to start to reflect and question, what are those limiting beliefs that are holding us back?
I love it. Thank you so much, Andrew. And thank you for your part in all of this and your courage to follow your heart and to share it all with the people that are connecting in with you. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on, Eleni. And it was a fun conversation. And for people listening, if you want more of Eleni, show notes will direct you to listen to her two new podcasts, and looking forward to watching your continued success.
Yay. Awesome. Thanks, Andrew. All right.
Thanks everybody for listening. We will see you next week. Until then, much love. See ya.